Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Pagans Tonight Radio Network, the voice of the pagan world. Pagans Tonight is sponsored by Witchschool.com, your anyone, anytime, anywhere magical education.
Hello, everyone. This is Samira Luna, and this is the Tree of Life Hour here on the Pagans Tonight Radio Network. The Tree of Life Hour is brought to you also by the Tree of Life Community Center, a nonprofit group of people in the Louisville, Kentucky area that's trying to create space for people of earth-based religions and philosophies. And our show is all about the pagan community, things we think you all should know about and be discussing. So with that said, tonight is our Chasing Squirrels episode, which we discuss current events and wherever the conversation takes us. And Ravenfire is not on tonight. She had to work. But I have Dee with me. Dee, remind everyone who you are.
Hi. I am one half of Soul Luna Productions, which is a small business that is all about teaching and writing and giving people the tools that they need to more deeply understand their esoteric and hermetic interests. We've been taking a little bit of a hiatus over the winter and haven't been teaching a lot of classes, and we're trying to figure out what we're going to be doing in this coming year as things warm up, but that's who I am.
Okay. So, to start off with tonight, I accidentally went past the article I wanted to discuss. So, and just so everybody know, a lot of the stuff that we discuss on the Tree of Life Hour is out on the Wild Hunt, which is a pagan news site. It's wildhunt.org. They are great if you want to just go one place for everything that affects pagans in the news. They have articles, they have news, they have tarot pools, they have editorials. They got a little bit of everything. And they do fundraising, too, because it takes a lot to be able to go to one place and read all that stuff. So if you can, please support them. So, and I believe we reported on this before, that in Richland, Virginia, they're having issues where pagan shop owners fight for right to read tarot. So there's apparently a big resistance in this community. It's less than 5,000 people, and it says in the southwest part of the state. And the recent ripple through the community, it says, is the presence of Mountain Magic and Tarot Shop, which has become a gathering place for pagans who previously practiced in solitude and hiding. And the shop proprietors are open about being witches, and they're married to each other. And so because they believe that, first of all, that they're kind of rubbing some people wrong just because of living their lives openly with their business. So the locals have challenged their right to provide tarot readings on the grounds that it's not allowed use in their shop under the local zoning code. So on February 13th, the pair will be formally asking that fortune teller palmist be added to the use table for the zone in Richland.
So this is a long-standing tactic that is often used to curtail the activities of esoteric shops and fortune tellers and palm readers and tarot card readers. Throughout the U.S. It's fading, luckily, but there's still pockets where people try to use this tactic, and it's one that's been put into place for years, where for a long time there were laws on the books in several states that said no tarot card reading is considered fraud. And once those were struck down over free speech issues most of the time, or because people would claim that they were doing tarot card readings as part of their religious practice and stating that, then they would go into zoning and there would be licensing requirements and sometimes prohibitive licensing requirements. And they'd do fun things like in order and in an attempt to shame tarot card readers, have them licensed under the same set of laws where sex workers were licensed, for example. So this is an old, old tactic, but it rarely stays successful for very long. It's not one that's very successful in the courts, but I know it must take a lot of fortitude for that couple to continue to fight something like that.
Right. It says that and see, it's not so much that the town is apparently saying it's illegal to read. They're saying it's not legal at their particular location.
Yeah, and that's another thing
because
that they would use. For example,
it's not listed on in the use table. The guy that build inspectors and planning official use to determine what's allowed. You have to have a building inspector or an official tell you that you're allowed to do tarot in your building.
Well, they're probably using some really, really narrow interpretation of their zoning laws. So a lot of times if someone tries to open a pagan shop in their house, they'll get you on zoning, right? Because this is a residential area and you can't open a business here. Okay, so, you know, it's something along those lines. And it's why with the licensing of tarot card readers, they would stick sometimes the tarot card readers in with the sex workers because zoning's very strict about, for example, where a strip club could be. Or, you know, if brothels are legal, where a brothel could be. It can't be this close to a school. It can't be this close to a church. You know, it's like how liquor stores are sometimes zoned specifically because they're considered sinful. So they've got restrictive zoning associated with them. And so they're trying to use a similar tactic by saying you're not zoned for fortune telling. I've never heard it specifically used that way other than with the laws that lumped tarot readers into sex worker groups. But, yeah, they're trying to use zoning the same way that they would use it, you know, to prevent someone to have their readings or, you know, sell out of their home, you know, which is interesting because someone can sell the heck out of Amway or Mary Kay out of their home and that's not a problem.
Yeah, but here's the funny thing, too, is they can actually tarot read outside on the sidewalk legally. They just can't do it in the building.
Oh, because they're going the zoning route. That's hilarious.
Yeah. So, yeah. So they're doing some readings outside right now.
It'll be interesting
wow.
to see how that plays out and if the court will try to support the zoning law like that or, you know, and bow to the pressures of the society or actually interpret it the way it probably should be interpreted. I'd be interested to read what the zoning's like in that part of the world in that community.
Right. So I just thought that was interesting, though, because, like you said, we hear about where they're saying, oh, it's legal by the books here in this city or town or whatever or state, but I've never heard of it used as a whole zoning thing. Like, they can't do it within their building because the building's not zoned for it. Never heard that before. That's the first time I've ever heard that one.
So this is a very specific reading of zoning.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I don't know much about this center, but Lighthaven Spiritual Center, I guess in Tryon, North Carolina, is set to transition. They announced that the organization is selling its lands and buildings, and it's a shift in direction with a different use of the organizational energies. They're going to use the profits from the sale to establish a charitable foundation. And the law requires foundations to give away part of their funds each year, and Lighthaven leadership plans to fund charities for human, animals, and the environment. And that groups within the pagan community will also be eligible for these funds. They consist of 86 acres of fields, gardens, woods, three buildings, and a large garage for equipment storage. One building, the facilitator or mother house, has a private sanctuary, and one building functions as a place for classes, offices, and public ceremonies. And the third building is the High Priestess's home. So it doesn't sound like they're getting out because they have to. It sounds like they just want to take it all a different direction, which is good to hear that from a community center, that they're not getting out because they're going under.
Yeah. Or it means that people governing that community center understand that financially they will go under, and they're making the plans to not lose it all before they close up shop and try a different approach to supporting the community. Because I keep hearing people talking about how people don't show up to events like they used to. I don't know if you've read anything about that. It's been for the past couple years. People don't show up to festivals. People don't go to campouts as much. People, you know, don't show up to Pagan Pride as much, or don't show up to events and classes as much. And, you know, we've got in this country a thriving pagan community, particularly compared to what it was when I first became interested in this kind of stuff and started reaching out to the community. There wasn't a lot out there, and it makes me sad to think there's so much out there now. And I see festival and event go, you know, from yearly to every other year or every 3 years in order to try to keep going, because they just don't have the attendance anymore.
Well, I know a lot of festivals, or I wouldn't say a lot. Okay, sorry, I was saying that wrong. A lot of people that talk about not going to, like, workshops, events and stuff, I just know from, like, my online groups and stuff, it's because a lot of people have had so much drama with the pagan community that they've decided to stay away from it.
I can definitely understand that, too.
They're like, I'm solitary, I'll meet up with some friends every so often, but I'm not doing anything with the community anymore, I'm just tired of it all. Now, I have, you know, there's been drama in the pagan community here, but I've been able to look past it, and I still go to what events I can. I just work so much anymore, there's not a lot I can go to. I have, like, my one festival puff I do every year. I used to go to Chrysalis Moon, but I just haven't had the opportunity to here lately. But, and there are some festivals out there that are still growing. Like Pagan Unity Festival, they get more people attending that every year.
That's good to hear. Because I've heard lots of people lamenting about attendance and, you know, stuff. But I also think, too, that as the pagan community, the demographics of the pagan community grows and changes, you know, it's important for organizers to accept that, you know, people who in their, you know, who can show up in their 20s on a Wednesday night at 8 or 9 o'clock for something, or do a late night event on a Saturday or Sunday, you know, people in their 30s and 40s with kids necessarily don't always have that same flexibility. And in some of the organizations I've been involved in, we've worked really hard to get child care and stuff like that kind of integrated into our festivals and events, in the hopes that we could make it easier for people to attend who might have some restrictions. But, you know, as our community ages, it goes from child care to adult care to, you know, other familial responsibilities, work. And so that puts the damper on a lot of attendance, too, I think.
Right, because there used to be a shop I used to go to and attend, you know, the full moon rituals and the Sabbat rituals and all that stuff. And the ritual itself would last an hour or more at times, because it was, they tended to do a lot of leaning more towards high magic, very ritualistic, you know, circles. And then there'd be the potluck afterwards. And I mean, by the time we got out, we would get out of there, it would be almost like 10, 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And if it happened to fall during a week, yeah, if it happened to fall during a weekday, it was really tough. And I can see people don't want to take their kids out that late. Even, you know, even if they were to provide child care, that's really difficult if you're not getting home till 11 o'clock. You know, you want your kid to already be in bed by then.
Yeah. Why is little Timmy so tired in school today? Oh, I'm sorry. I had him out at a religious gathering until 12:30 last night.
Yeah, I was at a witch's coven until midnight.
Yeah. You have excellent choice.
See that letter coming home.
It's there needs to be space for that late night stuff. There needs to be space for, you know, people who only have the weekends. There needs to be space for people who never have the weekends because they're working two jobs and one of their jobs always consumes the weekend. You know, it's, again, you know, there's not a lot of resources and different groups do what they can. But it's a challenge, I think, to the community that we don't have a lot of sometimes diversity in timing, you know, and organizations I've been involved in have tried rotating the time. Like, we'll do weekends one month and we'll do it during the week the next month and we'll do it, you know, early in the evening, late in the evening. But then, you know, people get frustrated with that because if they want to attend every event, they're, you know, struggling to follow an erratic schedule. So there's some real challenges there.
And I think a lot of stuff is going towards, okay, so when I started studying, pretty much everything I found was online. I didn't know there was a local group. I was on WitchVox all the time. And that's actually how I found that someone wanted to start a Pagan Pride Day here in Louisville. And then that's how I actually got involved in the local community, was actually starting with, because I went and volunteered at Pagan Pride Day, the first one here in Louisville. So I actually went from looking at everything online and in books to the community. And it seems like a lot of people are going back from being out and doing public stuff to starting to do stuff online again. You know, as far as taking classes online, studying online. But I mean, if you go on Facebook, there's tons of Facebook groups out there for pagans.
I ask, though, and I say this because I'm by far, I didn't miss the computer revolution. I was right there with it. The first time I touched a computer, I was 6 years old, and it was probably like 1980. So there I am dating myself right there. I ask, because to me, I've spent a lifetime since about 1983 or so when I first got access to the internet, searching out news groups. But, well, first it was bulletin boards, and then it was news groups, and then it was chat rooms, and then it was discussion, the email lists, and all that good stuff, looking for robust pagan instance where there was a real learning and teaching going on. And through my experience that I had, I got even more drama online than I did in person with people. So it was, you know, I've struggled to find, and it may be my problem, I may be cruddy at finding resources online. You know, I can find tons of Facebook groups, but to find Facebook groups that are actually posting content that is, you know, intellectually engaging and something that I feel like is helping me progress towards my spiritual goals, I seem to struggle with that. That's one reason why I do love Wild Hunt, because when I found Wild Hunt, I was like, here's a page, here's a blog, a website that's really working hard to bring quality content to people. And so I find it, you know, and like I said, maybe I just suck at finding the good content online, and I get too frustrated with sifting through it all to find the good resources.
Yeah, because there are some groups that are so big, it's really hard to, or I should say, it's really easy for your post to get missed if you ask a question. I love The Cauldron and Mixing. It's The Cauldron, a mixing place for witches, druids, and pagans. It's on Facebook. I love it. It's a pretty good community. There's every so often some people get out of line, but with as many people are in that group, it could be so much worse, you know. but most people are cordial. Most people are good. And I like it. There's posts that make me think. Like, for example, if someone posted something about wanting to use a triangle instead of doing a circle, and some people were, like, against it, like, no, you're not a Wiccan if you don't use a circle, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, my thought was, well, they have pyramids of power. Why wouldn't you just make it a pyramid, and that would even help you focus your energy out to what you want to use it for? I mean, I don't know if I'd do it, but that was just a thought I had. You know, but most people in it, I mean, but even the people that didn't really agree with it were still civil about it. You know, they didn't start bashing the person or anything, but it is also such a large group that posts will get missed sometimes. Like I posted something in there and nothing, not a crickets. And then I post something else, and I got a few replies on it. You know, I mean, it just all depends. It probably also depends on time of day and everything, too. But it seems like there's starting to be a more focus of taking those groups, the group idea, dynamic ideas, and making more focused groups. Like, specifically for healing. Yeah, because... I can't remember who posted it now. It's one of the musicians we play on here, and I can't think of which one it was now. It was one of the female musicians we play on here. she posted something about wanting to create actually a group for healing, you know, to discuss healing techniques and different stuff. And I was like, I'm all in on that, because right now I'm trying to figure out how to heal myself and get rid of energy blockage that, yes, I should have gotten rid of 20 years ago when I first started practicing, and it probably would have been a lot easier then. But now, instead of doing that, I put it off for 20 years.
Live and learn.
Yeah. Someone asked in one of the groups was like, I'm fairly new. I've been studying this. What else is something I should study? And I was like, deal with your energy blocks now. It will help you a lot with everything else. Oh. But, yeah. Okay, so, next story. I did want to bring this up. So, as you know, as everyone, I'm sure most people know, I shouldn't say, like, as you know, I'm sure most people know Arthur Hines, who was part of Emerald Rose. His wife, Catherine Ann Fernquist Hines, passed away January 30th. She's had multiple heart surgeries recently, and the last one she passed away with the complications from it. I'm friends with him on Facebook, so I saw a lot of what was going on. I have never met her, but there are so many people talking about her and how vibrant she was and how much they learned from her. And she was also an author. She wrote poetry. I mean, and she taught, it says in the Wild Hunt article, they said she taught English at the University of North Georgia and lectured at a variety of non-pagan events on fantasy writing and similar topics. So, but she passed away, and I know it hit the community pretty hard. He is asking that if people would like, they can send donations to his wife's favorite charities, which include Planned Parenthood and ACLU. But I just want, for those of you that aren't on Facebook a lot or don't have a chance to read Wild Hunt, let everyone know that she did pass away.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
I did not know.
Yeah, I wish I had a chance to meet her. Like, I always wanted to go to one of their concerts or go to one of the festivals they were at, and the opportunity never arose.
Yeah. Shame. We've lost a lot of good ones lately.
That needs to stop. So, oh, and here's something else. On another not too positive note, I don't know. So, over the past week, a controversy arose within the Society for Creative Anachronism.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So, it's an international organization, which a lot of pagans are involved in. Now, that's the ones they do a lot of the reactments, right?
Right.
Okay. So, just make sure I had it right in my head. So, the Kingdom of Caid, C-A-I-D, based in Southern California, was set to crown their new king and queen, who for their coronation wore robes that bore swastikas.
Oh, come on now.
The pattern was woven by hand and sewn into the robe's trim. When the couple appeared at the coronation, there was immediate outrage. The weaver has since made a public statement saying, "To anyone and everyone I have caused distress, anxiety, fear, hate, rage, distress, or any negative feeling, I'm sorry. I made a mistake." The pattern was correct for the Saxon period iconography. I can't say the word right now. You just have one word you have issues with for a little bit. it was right for the Saxon period he was trying to recreate. However, he did not use his own wisdom in going forward with the weaving. The couple made two separate statements on the Cade website apologizing for their oversight. They also say that the band will be burned and the symbol will not be used again on the throne. And that anyone showing up with a symbol that wearing any symbol that is overtly or any clear there's multiple words I'm having trouble with tonight.
Derivation?
Thank you. Of a philpot, I'm not sure I know what that word is. F-Y-L-F-O-T?
Not really sure.
I've not used that word before, so it is a new word to me. But if they use any you just said it and I still can't say it.
Derivation.
So, derivation of a philpot will be asked to leave. A proper law change will be discussed with the kingdom and society.
In case you're wondering, philpot is a synonym for swastika.
Oh, didn't know that. I guess I never needed to know that until now. So.
Yeah, it has multiple spellings. Some with a Y, F-Y-L-F-O-T, some with an I. F-I-L-F-O-T.
What I'm understanding, there was a period trim from that period that had them on it.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that they used the swastika. It was a Saxon. I always thought it was a bastardized version of the Hindu symbol. Is it Hindu symbol? Or Indian symbol?
I know it comes from the Indian subcontinent, so kind of East Asia and Southeast Asia, but it did spread, and there are representations because it's often considered like a sun wheel, and so it spread through many cultures, and you can see symbols that are flat out looking like a swastika, in multiple cultures, Byzantine, the Han Dynasty stuff. Modern Japan still uses them because it's up. Hello, my fiance is feeding me humorous information. Don't ignore that. Oh, no, Jainists in Japan. Or no, Buddhists and Jainists in Japan. So actually, he shouted from the other room, and I'm just like beating it in. So anyway, the swastika is a international symbol. It's been all kinds of places. It was there long before, of course. It was bastardized and used as a symbol of evil during World War II. So that there was a Saxon design that included one shouldn't come as a surprise, because all throughout Europe, it's been found from the Iron Age on. So, but the decision to actually wear one today, even with trying to do accurate reconstructionism, I think another pattern probably should have been selected.
Yeah. So here's an interesting, I guess, YouTube decision. The Hellenic Council, YSEE of America, has published a Facebook post stating YouTube decided Hellenism is unsuitable for minors.
What?
The council's YouTube channel has been reportedly restricted by age, which has been confirmed by the Wild Hunt reporters. The statement goes on to say that the organization has received multiple complaints due to its videos of Hellenic rituals that include nude statues and imagery.
Oh, come on. I'm sorry. But come on now.
But violence is okay.
No, violence is fine. You know, hate speech occasionally is fine. Pew Pew Die is still on YouTube, I think. And he says things that should never be said in decent society, really. And horror, you know. But we can't have a picture of a nudie statue in a Hellenistic ritual because that might corrupt children. So
right.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that that is somehow similar or associated with the crackdown on esoteric merchants on Square and other online shopping services? Do you think there's a connection? Do you think it's related some way?
With YouTube?
Yeah.
No, I honestly, I don't. I think these are two different things. I think the crackdown with the different card servicing agencies and all that, and Etsy and all that, I think that's more they're worried that it's not real, so people are going to want their money back, and they don't want to guarantee it. They don't want to have to deal with it. With a lot of Christian values thrown in. As far as the YouTube thing, I think it does have to do with Christian values. And I'm doing quotation marks in case anyone is wondering. I know you can't see it, but I'm doing the whole, you know, quotation marks. As far as the YouTube thing, I think it mainly just has, I don't think it's the monetary content type deal thing. I think it's just people are just being, for lack of a better word, they're being dicks and marking it as adult content, and YouTube's just going along with it.
Wow. So it was confirmed by the reporters.
Huh?
I was just saying, so Wild Hunt's reporters did confirm that YouTube is marked Hellenistic magical information as age restricted. That's
adult only.
Saying.
Yeah.
Adult only.
Yeah. I mean, I know that there's, you know, adult age restricted nudity YouTube videos out there. That's one thing. But come on. That's like the whole thing. She's my best friend. Phaedra Bonwitz. And a few other, you know, well-known pagans have been posting on Facebook that posts that they have had out there, like two-year-old posts, are all of a sudden being marked as being nudity or something and getting pulled.
Interesting.
It's crazy. It's like people are just going out there and deciding, I don't like this. And it shows cleavage. It's adult-oriented. It's, no, sorry. It shouldn't be here.
Hmm.
Really?
Well.
How was it ever decided that, I mean, how is it, I don't know, I don't understand how people went from running around naked to having all this clothing on, and if you show any skin, it's wrong.
Well, that's an interesting question. Probably one that we'd have to do a lot more research on to find out the answer to.
But, well, there was no written record at that time, so that would be really difficult.
You know, it's... It's interesting how different cultural mores have, you know, dictated the behaviors of different people throughout the ages, and how a lot of times not only the culture and the race of the individual, the class of the individual has all played a part in how much flesh it was acceptable to flash at different times and at different places around the world. I was watching a documentary. Okay, I confess, it was an episode of Penn & Teller's show on Showtime called BS. I don't know if I can actually say that word. On this podcast, I don't know what the cursing rules are, but they were talking to a woman who was a free the breast advocate, and she advocates for women to be able to go topless all the places where men can go topless, and she considers it a free speech issue, a freedom of expression issue, and she actually won in court a couple times over that, and so she's out of Florida, I think. You know, but they were talking about, like, you know, in early American culture, and we're talking the pilgrims, which were like the uptight people around, you know, when we picture them from our modern standpoint, and women breastfed in church. And it wasn't an issue. Because that was the cultural mores at the time. And that those mores and rules have changed over time multiple times. People think it's always been, you know, as restrictive or in the past more restrictive than what we've had today. That's not always the case. So it's interesting.
Well, they didn't have formula then, so.
Yeah. I guess it's more important for the woman to be sitting in church than to step out of church in order to feed her child. But, you know, it wasn't an issue for a woman to breastfeed in public. And, you know, they were interviewed a woman who walked into a Toys R Us, their flagship store in Manhattan, and she was breastfeeding her child while her other child played in the store, and they told her, oh, we have a room in the basement for that. You can't do that out here in public. This was several years ago, of course.
Wow.
But I'm like, yeah, at a Toys R Us, you know. Where a kid can't be a kid if he's hungry. The kid has to go in the basement.
Wow. Well, it is time for us to take a break. So I'm going to play a song. I'm going to play Spiral Dance and Spirit of the Green. So we'll be right back.
And the wind it cuts. like a knife for the bones of Jack Frost King. And the Winter King must now bow down to the champion of the green. And the Lord of the Woodland is waiting eagerly through the forest and the hedgerows. The song of life he weaves with his feet deep in the soil. He watches over the green wood. He's a messenger from nature.
Where the spirit of Hi, this is Ravenfire Doll of the Tree of Life Hour. I know a lot of you out there listen to our show in the archives. And have you ever thought when you were listening in the archives, man, I wish I was able to call in and talk to them while they had a guest on or they were talking about something? Well, now here's your chance. This is especially for you, our archive listeners. If you want to ever add to our conversation, please feel free to dial us on our listener voicemail line. That number is area code 502-276-5665. Tell us your name. Tell us where you're from. Leave your message in your lovely, lovely voice, and we will be more than happy to play it on an upcoming episode of the Tree of Life Hour. We love our listeners, and we thank y'all very much for listening to us.
And we are back, and this is Samara Luna, and Dee is on with me, and we are discussing current events, all the things going on in the world. So, let's see what else is going on.
Having heard that advertisement for the archive listeners to call in, I'd just like to say, if you're out there wondering what the hell is Dee talking about and why is she rambling so much, you are free to call in at any time. I'm plugging call in for you. Call in and talk to us. You too can ramble.
Yes, we have a listener line. You can call in and ramble all you want, and then if it's really funny, we'll play it on the air.
There's an equal opportunity for rambling.
Maybe we should give our listener line that have people give it out as like the date line. you know, when you go on a date and you want to give somebody your phone number.
Oh, that would be most excellent. That would be awesome.
We could have our own funny line for dates. Look, wouldn't that be funny? Ravenfire knows nothing about it, and she goes and listens to the listener line.
Like, what is wrong with these people?
Who's giving out our phone number?
During the month of April. Do it during the month of April.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll get like good April Fools for it.
Let's see. As far as big events that are coming up, PanTheaCon is coming up in San Jose.
I wanted to go this year.
Have you ever
been?
Obviously.
No, I was like, I'm going to make 2018 my first year there, and I didn't. Work got me.
I would love to go just once.
I'd like to go. Well, my little cat's there. He's like there every year, and he's amazing, and I want to hear him speak again. So.
Who? I didn't hear you.
Lon, my little cat. He's written 20-something books on magic and occultism and tarot. And he's like my occult author hero, and he'll be there, and I'm sad that I'm not there to hear him speak.
And I'm sad I don't know who this person is. I will have to learn.
He is fantastic. If you're ever interested, now I'm plugging Lon's books. You're in trouble. If you're ever interested in learning about the Kabbalah and having fun at the same time, he has a book called The Chicken Kabbalah, and it is the most fun introduction to the Kabbalah you will ever pick up.
I actually know somebody that was interested in that worked. They mentioned something, and it reminded me of it. I said, well, have you ever checked it out? And they're like, no. And of course, I didn't know any books or anything, but I will have to refer that to them now.
You will learn all the basics from that book, and it'll do it and it does it in such an enjoyable way. But he has a book called Low Magic, which is kind of like a biographical. He has a lovely book on the soft tarot. He just has countless books on various esoteric subjects, and he's an amazing author.
I'll have to check him out. Molly's known for good authors.
Sorry to derail from your list of events.
Oh, no. Well, I was actually going through our list of events. Well, it is almost that time now. But I just was with a Wild Hunt, had a big old article on PanTheaCon. So I was like, I'll just mention it. And I was going to ask if you'd ever been to that was one.
No, gosh, I'm trying to think. I think the biggest event I've ever been to is St. Louis Pagan Picnic that they do in June. Been to that. I went to
and
that
I
last year.
And I still haven't been to that either.
That was fun, although it was 90-something degrees out that day. So that was a problem. It was really warm. Selena Fox was there. She's amazing. And I got to see her help lead a ritual, which I never thought I'd get to actually experience in person. She was a lot of fun to talk to. And they had Chris Penzack was there. They have a lot of good folks there that are fun to talk to. And they had a lot of vendors and information booths. It's good.
Yeah, I've hung out with Penzack before. He's really cool. Well, and Selena. Selena, you know,
she goes to Puff, right?
Does stuff. Yeah, she goes to Puff a lot. She's been the last couple years. Christopher Penzack was at, I think, my second Puff, and then he was didn't come for a while, and then he was there last year. But Selena, I've also met. The first time I met her was actually at Crystal's Moon, though.
Oh, okay.
And that's when we were doing our show on Friday nights then, and she was doing her show on Pagan's Night on Thursday nights. And we would have to go out and go out of the park to do our show. So they went out to the gate to do their show Thursday night, and then Ravenfire and Serenity and I, we went further out because it was so dark. We went drove down to like the local Family Dollar that closed the same time we started our show.
No.
And apparently the police came up to the van we were in to check
on us. Oh no.
Yeah. If you ever want a good laugh, there is a, I can't remember if it was police or just a guy in a truck or something. But if you ever want a good laugh, go find our show that we did live from Crystal's Moon about 4 years ago.
I will have to try to check that out. That sounds pretty funny.
Yeah,
I wasn't listening back then.
Yeah, there people came up to the van are like, "Are y'all okay?" Because apparently they also would do like drug deals or something in this parking lot. So it was really watched. Like, yeah, that's what it was.
Like,
they came up to warn us that the police might be by.
No, just doing a podcast. Nothing to see here.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, their dollar store closed early.
Oh, no.
So, let's see. Is there anything else I want to mention before? Okay. There's a breaking story, but I will wait. But y'all watch. It looks like there's going to be an article coming out on Wild Hunt about some stuff going on in the pagan community. That's all I'm going to say right now. We'll report on it more once it's a little bit more official. But I guess that is all for tonight. Now I have to get my Facebook to show me my current events. Maybe. Okay, let's see. What is going on? Tomorrow, Crystal Healing for Beginners. Oh, well, it may have already started. I'm not sure. This is Friday in February, so I'm not sure if you can still go or not. Maybe you can. But it is at Yogaya at 2720 Frankfort Avenue upstairs, Louisville, here in Louisville, Kentucky. Let's see. Then there's also the Inner Light Festival is this weekend, which I would have loved to have gone. It starts Saturday, February 10th at 11 a.m. through Sunday, February 11th.
Where is that? Is
lots
that
of
Lexington?
People, vendors. Yes. So there's going to be a lot of ghost hunting stuff. The pet communicator that I went to is actually going to be there, and I really like her. Latisa, I can't think of her last name now. I'm going to plug her because it's Animals Can Talk is the name of her business. Latifa Mina, she is a psychic and pet medium, and she's really good, just to let y'all know. I might actually take her workshop in March. So I want to learn how to be a pet communicator, which is why I need to work on all that emotional blockage I mentioned earlier.
See how she brought that back full circle, folks?
Yeah. So, but that's going on this weekend in Lexington. Then there is channeling and past life readings with Mary Cincy at Inner Awakenings in Blairsville, Georgia. $20 per person, limited space, 4 to 5:30 p.m. Wait a minute, that's an old one. Why am I reading old ones? Hold on, what happened to my calendar? Never mind, ignore that. That was in the past.
if you only cleared your emotional blockages, you wouldn't have this problem.
Yeah. Oh, Dessert and Divination is also Saturday, February 10th, 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. at, let's see, it is through Pagan Pride of East Tennessee in Knoxville, Tennessee. Let's see, is that a new location? It says 916 Shamrock Avenue, Knoxville, Tennessee. So, yes, help support Nashville Pagan Pride. And then I have Heal Your Heart Workshop, Sacred Journeys here in Louisville, Kentucky. It is how to heal heartbreak and heal yourself. It's $30 per person. Then we have the PAC meetup, Pagan Alliance Kentuckiana, is Tuesday, February 13th, 7 to 10 p.m. at the Denny's on Eastern Parkway in Louisville, Kentucky. And then Earth Magic Grand Opening and Blessing on 80 Lexington Avenue, Asheville, North Carolina. That is Saturday, February 17th, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Reiki 1 and 2 certificate classes at the Intuitive Connection here in Louisville, Kentucky. Saturday, February 17th, 1 to 5 p.m. There is a cost for the workshop. It's $135, but there is a sliding scale available. Learning Basic Tarot with David at Moonstruck, Sunday, February 18th, 2 to 5 p.m. Moonstruck's in Jeffersontown, Kentucky. Intro to Tarot, Sunday, February 18th, 3 to 5 p.m. at Asheville Raven and Crone in North Asheville, North Carolina. Sovereign Seer and Sorcerer, the Green Man Store in North Hollywood, California, with Christopher Penzack. Let's see. I think I'm going to go ahead and stop. There's a lot of stuff coming up, and I want to be able to give everything what it deserves. So I think I'm just going to go ahead and end it there. So do you have anything coming up? Let everybody know.
No, I'm boring. Boring as heck. If anybody's interested in further rambling and stuff like that, occasionally I post to our Facebook page, Soul Luna Productions. If you look us up on Facebook, we're there. We also have a not very often updated web page that you can find a link to on that Facebook page. It's probably the easiest way to do it. But we do have some projects in the works and it's coming up in the future. Once it warms up, I don't know, we hibernated this winter. We just took it easy. So, well, hopefully, maybe the next time
you deserve it, because last year you had a lot of stuff going on.
Oh, my God. Well, it's like we started to get cold, and we're like, we'll take a little break, and that little break has, like, lasted until it's February now. But it was giving us some opportunity to do some stuff, reorganizing the house and the office, and we vended at an event for the first couple times. I think you were there for the very first time because we vended at Pagan Pride last year. So we're getting shiny things. we were neighbors, so at the vending in the vending booth.
Yep.
So yeah, nothing to report. Yeah, nothing to report this time, but maybe next time we'll have something cool and interesting to talk about.
Okay. So let's see. Next week, I will be having a special guest, and she will be discussing the look, it just went out of my head. Oh, what is it called? Oh my gosh, I'm losing my brain. Manifest Anara. That's what she's gonna be discussing. Wow.
You found it.
Week. I'm sorry, everyone. But I will be having a high priestess on discussing the Manifest Anara, which is a path to enlightenment. And she warns it is not for the weak. You can't be a pussy and do this path is what her, or I don't think she used those words. And those probably aren't appropriate words anyway for even me to be using. But I told you, I'm really tired. My brain isn't functioning. So actually, maybe it should be the office that you should be in because, you know, aren't we trying to turn that word around? So, all right. So before I say anything else stupid tonight, I'm going to tell everyone have a blessed evening. We'll talk to you next week. And thank you so much, Dee, for coming on because without you, I would have been a mess. I'm a mess right now. And if you hadn't been here, I would have been even more of a mess. I don't know what's wrong with me tonight.
Oh my gosh, thank you. It's always a pleasure to come on and talk to you and catch up with you. So thank you very much for having me. And go get some rest, woman.
Yeah, I think that's what I need. All right, so to take us out of here, I'm going to play Arthur Hines, and I'm going to play Celtic Cross. So everyone have a blessed evening, and see you next week.
The mundane world I fall, amid my struggles out of call, for a voice to answer, call and center me. Within the shrillness of the crowd, I seek a stillness just as loud, so I can gather my thoughts and find my certainty. Where's my place of simple solitude? Far away from conflict and fight. Far away from avarice and attitude. Where I can be present and breathe in the light. I wanna claim my place of vision. I wanna
Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.